head coach of the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers, Jeff Ross. Today I'm with Matt Jones, Kevin Harnett, Pat Forty. I'm with the new Chariot, Kristen Wall, United States Congressman John Yarman, Sarah Bohanser, and
welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. The show airs every week exclusively here on the Louisville.am Podcast Network. Rick's ready to start ranting and raving about his hometown right now. So here's Rick.
And here we are. Welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show, coming to you sort of live from the Louisville.am studios. As always, at least for the last 6 weeks, I've had this great thing going on here at the Rusty Satellite Show with a guest co-host. And this week, it's my great business partner, Steve Coombs.
Glad to be here. Flattered to be here.
Man, you're actually the first non-female guest co-host. I didn't want to have people thinking that it was only my way of getting good-looking women in here.
So you put an ugly dude in there to balance it out?
So you're balancing that out for me, Steve, and I appreciate it.
Not sure whether that's a compliment or a criticism. I'll delude myself and say it was a compliment.
All right. Well, we'll talk a little bit about what Steve's all about here in a second. I want to tell you that the Rusty Satellite Show, where you hear from the most interesting people in the Ville, is brought to you by two sponsors, our friends at Passport Health Plan, which have been with me from nearly the very beginning, and our other friends at the Eye Care Institute down on Story Avenue, where you can go for all your, if you have a serious procedure you need to be done on your eyes, they're great for that, or for routine eye exams, they're great for that too. 502-589-1500, the Eye Care Institute. So, Steve, let's talk a little bit about you. You and I are partners on eatdrinktalk.net, but I guess a lot of people, sometimes I forget, you're a book author.
That's right.
So sell us a book.
Well, the first book I'll sell you is Country Ham, A Southern Tradition of Hogs, Salt, and Smoke. I got to write that about 4 years ago, trot around Kentucky and Tennessee, learning the craft of country ham making, and it was published. You can find it on Amazon, or the best way to find it is stevecoombs.com, because I make a far better return that way.
We ought to have an ad up on E-Drink Talk about that or something.
We should.
Yeah, we should.
How silly of me not to do that on my own site, or our own site. But anyway, I love cured ham. It's a Kentucky craft that we need to preserve, and it's actually quite chic in New York and in San Francisco and Chicago, all these markets that buy these hams, and they don't cook them. They treat them like world-class prosciutto ham, a cured ham. So, but I'm a food writer by trade and write about spirits and, you know, locally, what, Edible Louisville, Louisville Magazine, who else? I haven't written for Louisville Magazine in quite a while, but nationally, Nation's Restaurant News, Southern Living, some others.
Well, you are the man with a scoop in terms of the local restaurant and drinking industry. So it's a great place for people that haven't yet found it at eatdrinktalk.net. You can find all of Steve's scoops. I occasionally write something there too, and it's just a good deal. So, Steve, glad to have you on here as a guest host on Rusty Satellite. You probably know about I always want to talk about my guest. First of all, my first guest is a guy named Mark Murphy. You know him?
He is the editorial cartoonist for the Courier Journal.
Yeah, he's kind of a liberal.
No kinda.
Yeah, that's right.
He's right for the CJ. There's no kinda.
Well, he draws these great cartoons, and he's become somebody I really admire and like. He is going to be the speaker at our I know you've been to one of these, the Breakfast of Champions events.
These are great. The one that I got to go to a couple of months ago is fantastic. Just great way to start your day, motivated.
And this one's going to be really cool. It's Tuesday, November 15th, so we're inviting winners and losers to show up to talk about the election.
But they're not going to put a name tag on you that defines which you are, whether you're a winner or a loser.
But
they're all winners at the end of the meeting, right? Once they've paid their bill.
That's right. So it was all fun. I went over to Mark's office. It's up in the that big tower over there. It's now called the Mercer Tower. And because he's an attorney, and he's just an amazing talent. He does this. He does his cartoons on his iPad.
I bet he's not charging billable hours to the Courier, because I doubt they'll pay that.
No, he gets paid less than that probably for that. But he really enjoys his work, and he has a lot to say about politics and social. I think it's a really good interview. So encourage you to listen to that. And in the second part of the show, I have somebody that maybe both of us could use her services, right? Executive coach Katie Gaughan.
Absolutely. We both need business tune-ups. We both need guidance, mentorship, all of it.
How can we make more money?
Help us, Katie. Help us.
Katie's a very interesting young lady and is a co-organizer with me on the Breakfast of Champions event. So we're sort of tag-teaming the Breakfast of Champions thing. So anyway, that's what's coming up in the show. It's going to be a very exciting one. And we're going to go right to the Mark Murphy interview and see what he has to say.
I had no use for health insurance, but my mom was always saying, sign up for Passport. And I was like, Mom. She was like, for my peace of mind. It got to be where I needed peace of mind, so I did. Now my mom, she can chill, and I feel pretty good about it too.
Together we can all feel better. Call 1-800-578-0603 and ask for Passport. That's 1-800-578-0603. Passport Health Plan, working together for a healthier Kentucky.
All right, the Rusty Satellite Show is up in the, what tower is this, Mark? This is the...
I'm going to let you guess.
It's at 4th and Market. It's big.
Tallest building in Kentucky, but it's had about seven names because every time some insurance company in Holland buys another insurance company in Holland, they have to change its name. So I think it started off as Capital Holding Building. It was something else. Then it was the Aegon Center.
Yeah.
I think it's the Mercer Tower now.
Mercer Tower. Okay, yeah, the Mercer Tower. Everybody knows that.
But by the time the show airs in 18 hours, it may be something different.
All right. Well, I'm so happy to have you on the show. I'm very much looking forward to November 15th. You're going to we're going to have a post-election breakdown, I guess, at the Breakfast of Champions at the University Club. Everybody listening to this is invited to that, $20 for a great buffet breakfast. And tell me about what you're going to be talking about.
Well, I don't like the fact that you use the word post-election breakdown because I'm afraid that post-election there could be a breakdown. Actually, I don't think that's the case. I think the country's founders somehow, whether you think it's by the grace of God or through their own study and genius, have created a system where maybe we don't get as much done as we need to with every administration. But we are protected, I think, generally from the administrations that could be dangerous. So I don't think there'll be a breakdown. In terms of the November 15th Breakfast of Champions, it's an honor to be invited, and I look forward to it. I really enjoy those sessions. The plan logistically is I'll bring slides of particular cartoons, some oldies but goodies to a certain extent, almost like you could think of it almost like a rock concert where people expect to see some things.
Yes.
You know, Mitch McConnell in a cheerleading outfit is going to be there in one form or the other because people expect to see that. But obviously updated to reflect the sorts of things that I've been drawing about for the last several months. Actually, it seems like it's been years, but maybe just the last several months. We'll go through those cartoons on a screen. People will be eating their bacon and scrambled eggs and making as much noise as they want to because it doesn't matter. And you and I will talk. I'll talk about the process. And I hope if it's part of the format, I always enjoy, I certainly don't shy away from people asking questions.
Sure. Well, let's get right into it. You know, the point is you write political cartoons for the Courier-Journal, very liberal point of view. Your hate mail must be stacking up.
It does.
Here lately.
Yeah.
You know, do you try to get into the mind or try to figure out what these Trump supporters are all about? You know, because that's what I've been trying to figure out. How could you support this guy?
Well, it's interesting that you ask the question that way because I actually have become of two minds about the question you just asked. There's no scenario, even including if we find out that, in fact, Hillary and Bill Clinton had 22 people assassinated within the last two decades. Even that.
That's already a headline on Fox News.
Yeah, even that wouldn't be a reason to elect Donald Trump president of our United States. For all the reasons, we can talk about that later, but time's limited. He's the most, you know, I didn't follow the Millard Fillmore years very closely, but as nearly as I can tell, he's the least qualified person. But aside from being unqualified, he's dangerous. He sends the wrong message. He gives license to people who think things that are ironically very un-American, et cetera. So he can't be president. There's no doubt about that. And I'll do whatever in my very limited way that the Fourth Estate is allowed through journaling, writing, drawing cartoons to try to prevent that. I don't think that's a problem. A person no less esteemed than Bruce Springsteen said last night that he didn't think Donald Trump was going to win. So I take that as, well, as good as any poll, certainly as good as the Bluegrass poll or whatever said that, you know, Matt Bevin wasn't going to be governor you know, a year and a half
That's scary because polls showed that he was behind and somehow he's now our governor.
Yeah. So
he's like Trump Jr.
In a very dangerous way. In a much more, I think, astute way. He's more careful.
And he's a better speaker.
He truly is. He's probably a better businessman, truth be told, too. But anyway, so there's no question, and I won't tolerate an argument that Donald Trump should be president. Now, however, I've done a lot of thinking lately and a lot of reading, and there's been some really relatively objective, very insightful writing that's been done, on the other hand, about why people support Donald Trump. And I'm not as quick as I used to be to, for lack of a better word, condemn the people who would support Donald Trump. I'm from Ashland, Kentucky.
Okay.
So when I graduated from Ashland High School in Ashland at Russell High School in Flatwoods, Kentucky, most of my friends' fathers worked either for Armco Steel, the railroad. At the time, it had the largest – Russell had the largest rail yards in all of the world because of the steel business, because of the coal business, and Ashland Oil. Those three businesses employed everybody. That was 1977 when I graduated from high school. Population of Ashland was 33,000 people. The population of Ashland now, give or take, and there's arguments about this, is probably about 14,000.
Wow.
And anybody who has jobs in Ashland, jobs to speak of, that aren't just trying to struggle through in some sort of retail or antique mall fashion, as you see in these old broken down towns, works in the healthcare industry. And that's a whole sad and another issue. The point is, though, that Ashland, its surrounding area, probably most of eastern Kentucky, maybe all of the state of Kentucky, will certainly vote for Donald Trump.
Right.
We're going to give him our electoral votes. I think that's
I've seen these electoral maps, and all the ones that say there's these states that used to be totally blue are now, you know, they're moving. But Kentucky's staying red.
Yeah, exactly. And so I found myself thinking, these are good people. Some of these people are my family, my wife's family, and they're not all, as it's easy to say, they're not all racists, they're not all bigots, they're not all anti-intellectual, uneducated people. They're people who have made decisions for other reasons to vote. And then when you think about it, and when you get into it, it's an area of the country, and you could take Kentucky, and you could take, frankly, parts of every state that are non-urban, where their attitude can be described as, look, we've tried to do the right thing. Maybe we voted Democrat for all these years, like you said, but what have the Democrats done for us? What have, and this is part of what Trump played on and Matt Bevin played on, what have the so-called career politicians done for us all this time? And so here's a guy we knew because of TV. You know, we may or may not care what he says, really, but here's what they think. It's time for the great shaking up of things.
Yeah.
And so that seems like the
weakest argument you can be. Look, you know, he told the black, you know, addressing a black audience, you know, you're poor, your life sucks, try something different.
That's a good point. That's exactly what he said.
You know, and it's
head shaking. And if you get beyond that one, once you get beyond the head shaking, you realize, well, he's dangerous and it's horrible and he doesn't care about you and he's just trying to get elected. But there comes a point, if you haven't had a sustainable job for a generation or two in your family, if your city is crumbling around you, you don't care about perhaps the high policy issues. You don't care about the constitutional issues. You don't care about the other things that really should be the focus of your vote. You want to know if somebody's going to make your life better. He's not going to. Uh-huh. But there's a part of me that understands why some people think he might.
Yeah.
That's scary in and of itself. But I think we do a disservice, people who think we know what we're talking about, I think we do a disservice to the future if we write off everybody who's going to vote for Donald Trump as somebody that we shouldn't care about, think about, or who doesn't have an opinion that's worth listening to.
Should we go through our Facebook list and unfriend all the people that are putting the pro-Trump things on?
Yes.
I know. That's a challenge for all of us. But with all this going on with politics, I mean, do the ideas for cartoons just come right one right after the other? I mean, how do you figure out what to do?
It's awful. Actually, it's a little bit of a challenge because on the one hand, people think you're being thrown softballs every day, so they expect you to hit it out of the park.
Right.
Secondly, there comes a point when you can't be funnier than the thing that actually happened, or you can't.
He really thinks this.
Well, it's like the Saturday Night Live cold opens now, where they mimic the debates. Most of the time, they're literally just repeating the debates themselves. It's not hard for them to be funny. And yet, on the other hand, people are like, well, that wasn't that big of a deal. All you did was act like Donald Trump did. Mm-hmm. So I remember in the last election cycle when Mitt Romney said that he had binders full of women. Remember that?
Yeah.
And that was the most outrageous, funny, interesting thing. Political cartoonists all over the United States pulled hamstrings, running to their drawing tables, trying to be the first guy or woman who drew a binder full of women. And now that wouldn't even be noticed. So it's like drinking out of a fire hose. I have to purposely try. Other people, I've seen discussions among political cartoonists and journalists and things. We have to specifically try hard to not draw yet another Donald Trump cartoon so that we can try to be somewhat interesting and try to be somewhat creative. Also, it gets depressing. Mm-hmm. I mean, how many times he keeps doubling down so that you forget? I mean, now we're talking about his possible sexual assaulting conduct on women. Okay. People have forgotten, to a certain extent, the fact that he wants to throw all the Muslims out of the United States, or that he wanted to build a wall to protect us from the rapists from Mexico, or that he wanted to do X, Y, and Z, or that he doesn't understand foreign policy, or he doesn't know where Aleppo is, although that's a problem many candidates share, apparently. So he keeps redirecting our attention. Yeah,
so how do you – I mean, okay, so this is going on, and we have other things. You know, during the course of a year, you write cartoons about all sorts of things. How do you resist going every day and doing something new about Trump? I mean, do you try to mix in other topics?
Well, I'm blessed. In the state of Kentucky, we have a governor who also provides it's like
Trump light.
Yes, exactly. Trump, the junior varsity Trump. There's an old saying that you're very familiar with, that all politics is local. And there are a lot of things that are going on in Kentucky that I think attention needs to be drawn to. I'm struggling with an issue right now. I don't have a child presently who takes a school bus in Jefferson County to school. I'm all for, intellectually and from a constitutional perspective, the integration of schools, and but I'm troubled, as anybody would be, by the fact that we still have children that take buses for hours to school, right?
Right.
And there's anecdotal stories about kids that get stuck on buses, things like that. But more and more I read about the fact, I don't know if you followed this or seen this, and I'm trying to think how I can portray this in a cartoon that makes some sense and that's backed up by the statistics and not just anecdotes. But 8, 9, 10 bus drivers a day, at least on some days, fail to appear to work. Wow. So you have that many. Imagine how many children are on those school buses that have to go 45 minutes to an hour and a half away. And they're on buses that their parents have planned for them to take. So the parents either can't take them to school or aren't prepared to take them to school that day. They're certainly not prepared to provide daycare for them that day. And those kids don't get to school. The point is, there's always issues. How to make them interesting and not just preachy. You know, we talked about this last time. There's nothing worse than a musician that sets out to write a protest song, right? Nobody listens to that. And they're awful songs. For the same reason, I don't want to just be preachy. I want to have some sort of context, something that draws your eye to it. So there are other things.
Well, I got to wrap it up here.
Sure.
Can you tell me, give me a preview. What are you working on now for this week?
Well, it's about 9:30 by my guess in the morning, so it won't be before noon till I'll know what I'm drawing tonight. So it's not a matter of what I'm working on this week. I have to do one every day.
Okay.
The cartoon that is probably being published online right now in the Courier that I drew last night is a comment about Donald Trump. He says the election is rigged, so I took advantage of the phraseology in my cartoon. I say he's right, the election is rigged, and I show a ship, and it shows it's rigging, right? Yeah. And the sails on the ship, it's the SS Donald Trump, and it's got hate, bigotry, all these things. So what I'm working on, I can't tell you what I'm going to work on tonight because I won't know till lunch.
Okay. All right, well, that's great. Well, again, wrap up. Mark Murphy, thanks for being on the Rusty Satellite Show. Looking forward to November 15th. Anybody can come and pay your $20 for breakfast. Enjoy a great discussion with Mark Murphy at the Breakfast of Champions. And, I can't wait. The only thing, I'm so looking forward to the election being over. But I do like all the great cartoons you're doing.
Well, thank you. There'll be more.
I'm Steve Coombs. And each week, Rick Redding and I record a new episode of Eat, Drink, Talk. We'll fill you up and fill you in on what's happening in Louisville's thriving drinking and dining scene. We bring you food news, interviews, and our take on what's happening around town. Find us on iTunes and download Eat, Drink, Talk.
Welcome back to the Rusty Satellite Show. I'm your guest co-host, Steve Coombs. So happy to be here, Rick, because, on our other show, Eat, Drink, Talk, all we talk about is food and drink. With Rusty Satellite, we get to talk about everything. And apparently it's worked for you, because this is show 172, and our own show is just show 24.
Yeah.
Piddling by comparison.
It's a lot of fun. I can remember when I started out, I used to get a thrill out of hearing famous people say Rusty Satellite Show, because it was a whole new thing. Nobody ever heard it before. And my son made it up. But it's become a part of the fabric, I think, of the community, I hope. And I've had a lot of people on. Had over 300 guests have been on.
That's a lot of peeps. That's a lot of interviews for people who don't understand how that counts up and the work that goes into that. And, heck, the scheduling alone.
Yeah. Well, it's fun. And I managed to work it out even when I had a full-time job. And now that I don't, I really have a passion for the show. And for this segment of the show, Steve, a lot of times, like you said, we get to talk about anything we want. Mark Murphy was going on about politics, and one of my favorite topics. And this election is finally going to be over with in less than 3 weeks.
Thank God.
That's something to celebrate.
This is just the worst mess, that we've ever had to listen to in this country.
It's turned so many people off, and the thing that bothers me, it turns so many people against each other.
Right.
And makes them say things about each other or just, and I'm guilty. I'm gotta admit, I'm guilty. I think anybody that really seriously believes that Trump is the right guy to be president, I've struggled with how to remain friends and respect them, because I'm so strongly on the other way.
Well, as you know about me, I'm kind of right down the middle. I don't like either side. But I'm doing my best to say this election ultimately reminds us of what this country is based upon. That's free speech, free choice. Uh-huh. And if you're foolish enough to choose one or the other candidate, because I don't like either, you're allowed to do that in this country. People have died for their right to do that. I'm not going to personalize it. I've got plenty of friends who are going to vote for Hillary and plenty who are going to vote for Trump, and I don't give a hoot. It's their choice.
Okay, well, put me in the Hillary category, because I just see everything that comes out every week about Trump, things that Trump's done, things that Trump says, and it's not policies or anything like that. It's just that he's not fit. In my view, he's just not fit to be.
I think it's fair. I think it's a fair statement because he, and certainly not because he hadn't been a politician, because heaven knows that can make you worse.
Exactly.
But yeah. Is he fit to be a politician or the president? No, I would say no. But at the same time, I just look at all the stuff that continues to come about Clinton. He's like, golly, she's just crooked as every other one of them,
Yeah, I mean, there is that, well, we'll just get off.
How do we get to this choice with 313 million people in this country? How do we get to these two people?
I tell you, well, that's a good question. I think that a lot of the rancor could have been saved if the Republican Party had chosen a more moderate candidate. You know, I really believe that, like, Kasich could have won.
John Kasich from
yeah,
Ohio?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, but then the election would have been about the issues, and it wouldn't have been about groping women and calling Mexicans out and all this stuff that's made this thing so ugly.
Or, you know, that's where tens of thousands of deleted emails and redacted, you know, statements. And, I mean, it's a mess. It's hard to know where each person stands on the issues because all they've done is defend themselves from the crap that's been said about them.
Exactly, exactly. So, like the rest of the country, let's move on from this topic.
and let's all put on our blindfolds and boxing gloves, and we go into the voting booth, and that way we won't know, but we will know we have voted.
That's right. We want our sticker. That's what it's all about. So speaking of voting, you know, not long ago, a year or so ago, we elected a governor in the state that's a lot like Trump. And as I was talking to Mark Murphy about, and the things he's done over at the university, I know we were talking about this before, Steve. I guess it took a lot of balls to do some of the things that Bevin done, and now we're finding out that he really can't do some of the things he's done.
Well, I would start with your statement about he's a lot like Trump. Now, you just clearly stated and fairly stated that he, you know, it's a lot about groping women and being a brash. Poor, yeah. Right. I would not count Bevin
no,
in that
way. No, not in that way.
Bevin, right.
I think Bevin's better than Trump in that he's a great speaker.
Yeah, you said as much.
And
yeah.
he is very sure of himself in a positive way, I think.
And the guy tends to be a good family man, mm-hmm. or, you know, from what I understand. Now, he clearly, according to the judges, has stepped across the line in how he's handled this college situation and pulling back, what, $16 million in funding?
Something like that from universities, which is, you know, which he found out legally he couldn't really do. I like the fact that it took a move like that, I think, for the university to get rid of Jim Ramsey.
Absolutely. That was long overdue. That what a cesspool this has turned out to be.
I mean, there's a lot of people that need to be cleaned out. It just makes me sick. You know, we're both tight and all that, and to see the amount of money that is being paid in salaries and bonuses and all this stuff to these guys that is not deserved.
That is supposedly a not-for-profit institution.
Yeah.
You know, how do you do that? How do you take that kind of money and then go turn to the state and ask for all that funding? I mean, really?
And how do you go continue writing tuition checks for them? And worse yet, you know, the U of L Foundation in the middle of this, how does anybody continue donating money to an organization like this? I mean, that's where the shit's going to hit the road, I think, because some of the donors are backing off, you know,
right.
And that's going to make things stop.
So. Right, absolutely. It's and it's just sad these kids can't even afford to pay their way through school anymore, like I did and you did. I assume you did, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah,
yeah.
Just delivering pizza,
working full time, and going to school full time.
There you go.
Apparently, it's not affordable.
Well. Usually we can look to athletics as a bright spot, and it is. We had a great we got a great football team.
Right.
Took care of Duke barely last week. Got North Carolina State this Saturday at home. Should be another big win. But, you know, it's almost basketball season, so we're talking about the scandal.
Right.
all we have to say is the scandal.
Right.
And apparently this week, just for those who don't know, the NCAA is going to release its notice of allegations to the University of Louisville about the stripper scandal that first reared its ugly head almost exactly a year ago. And all those, you know, allegations, the dominance in the media, the book that was written, the NCAA is going to release what it actually found out happened. And as I understand it, the university gets some time to respond to it. I guess the thing that most people in Louisville who are concerned about the basketball program are concerned about is whether there will be additional sanctions.
Right.
So, I don't know if you have a thought on that, Steve.
Well, I sure hope not. I'm a U of L fan, very proud of it. And I also think that the scrutiny, it's very similar to politics. I mean, people can't do anything anymore without being caught or somebody says, oh, that's a red flag, it's a slap on the wrist or whatever. And this clearly was some bad behavior.
Yeah.
You know, whether Pitino knew a thing about it and whether he can possibly know everything, or any coach possibly know everything. Yeah. It was up for debate, but I would sure hate to see more sanctions for this, because I mean, like we joked about before we went on the air, what's happened in North Carolina? Nothing.
Yeah,
absolutely nothing. But UofL, for some reason, because of the salaciousness, is that a word?
Well,
the scandal is,
you know, I think it involves sex, and sex ups the ante on any scandal.
Right.
You know, no matter what happens, if sex is involved, it's going to get bigger headlines.
Right.
It's going to be given more importance. That may or may not be right. But, you know, I have a hard time believing Pitino would know. You know, I used to get away with things my RA on my floor didn't know about, right? You
know, so you're having a hard time believing that he did know everything.
I don't think he knew squat about it.
Right.
You know, and I think that's going to be proven. And, you know, there will be a scapegoat. You know, Andre McGee is probably going to be the scapegoat in this. There's probably going to be some athletes who we know their names who took advantage of
right.
of benefits that were afforded to them.
Right.
And it's going to be a black eye for them. You know, it's like even going back to Trump, all this stuff involving sex is the biggest – those are the biggest
headlines.
People
talk about, yeah.
That's what people talk about. And that's what people are concerned about. And,
right.
you know –
I just hope that they don't do what they've done, they being the NCAA, to many other universities, done this revisionist history, because it's garbage.
Yeah.
It's stupid. I mean, it's like if I did something wrong and my parents said, well, you know, Steve, we're going to take back your Christmas presents from 3 years ago instead of grounding you for a month. It makes no sense to do that.
Because your 12-year-old self doesn't consider it a penalty to lose your 9-year-old self's toys.
Well, I mean, and it isn't fair to the members of the team that did not participate in that. And for heaven's sake, what kind of an athletic advantage was that to hang around with some strippers? It's just stupid. It makes no sense.
Yeah.
Take away their degrees. Make them give back their rings. Whatever the case, penalize the offenders, not everybody else.
The people who did it. So, you know, and I think UofL's going to come out all right. They've got a great basketball team all set. The athletic program over there is a shining example for the country.
Too bad they're not running the foundation at UofL.
That's right.
It'd be a wash in cash.
Put Jurich in charge of that.
Absolutely.
And that would, because they are, you know, Jurich, magically, he's been on this show before. And when he was on the show, he was talking about how difficult it was going to be to raise that money for the expansion of the football stadium. Well, guess what? They're starting building that next year.
Exactly. So, a year ahead.
Yeah, a year ahead of schedule. And they've already got this giant academic center built over there that you know, they got some donor money for that and all that. So, you know, I guess if you need money, the athletics is the place
what
to
do you,
get
what, it. How do you feel about them leveling Crawford Gymnasium?
Well,
is that a sentimental thing?
No. I would ask you, Steve, like this. Like, how bad do you feel about certain restaurants being torn down? You know,
great analogy. Yeah, absolutely. I went there a few times
change.
To do interviews, and it's like, this is one lame gym.
Right. It's a lame
but
gym.
But Denny built the empire there, for sure.
And, you know, things change. And like what you write about all the time are restaurants that come and go. That's really been the theme of the last few weeks of our podcast
right.
on restaurants and dining. And so, you know, that's I don't ever get sentimental. I don't like get traditional. Like my great example of that is like going to Keeneland. You know, when I was 20 years ago.
It was silent.
It was so cool. They said, oh, it's tradition. We don't have an announcer.
Like, well, who the hell's winning?
Yeah. Where's my horse?
So, can't see that far.
Technology advances are really good sometimes. So,
yeah, absolutely. So, I'm happy sometimes that I see some of these restaurants go away because some of them are terrible, terribly operated and borderline scary.
Yeah, well, all right, we got to wrap this up. But I think for our listeners who don't listen to our other show.
And should.
The question that people ask me about you all the time is, man, that Steve knows everything about a restaurant. What's his favorite? So I'm going to give you that question you get 100 times a week probably. What's the best restaurant in town?
Best is relative. I always say that. What are my favorites? Corbett's, Ceviche, and the Mayan Cafe are my three go-tos. And I'm telling you, La Chasse got added last week. The new one a year old, actually, on Barkshead Road. Absolutely fabulous. The Oak Room is turning out some incredible food. I go to, you know, divey places like the Bear Bar and Grill, Cumberland Brews. Like, we go all over the place. That was at Air Devil's Inn for the first time in my life a week ago. Loved it. Wow. But it is what it is. I'm not taking my wife there for a date.
But then again, it's hard to have a favorite too. Where you like go back every a lot because
yeah, my favorites are so expensive. Much. That's a bad thing.
There you go. Well, come on out to Louie Louie's. They were our guest on the Eat, Drink, Talk show. Mike Spurlock out in J-Town. Just a quick plug for them. But anyway, let's move on in the show. And Steve, our next guest is Katie Gaughan, who I know you don't know, but I know. And she's a lovely young lady, and she helps people in organizations learn how to get along with people.
Oh, so in her executive coach role, she also does kind of like office politics, behavior.
I tried to lure her into a conversation about office politics because I've never worked anywhere very long because office politics usually catch up.
But, and as you alluded to earlier, if there's sex in the office, it's the most exciting thing, and which makes me glad that I work by myself. No drama.
There you go.
At Steve's office.
Well, this is a great interview with Katie Gaughan, and she is my co-conspirator on the Breakfast of Champions. I think you'll enjoy hearing from her. It might learn something. You never know. And Steve and I will be back after the interview to wrap things up on the Rusty Satellite Show.
Hey, I'm Dan Vonderhyde.
I'm Stephanie White.
We host a weekly podcast called 40-ish. It's a show about life at middle age.
I'm not 40 yet.
Well, you're getting there eventually.
I guess.
So each week we talk about something that applies to the life of a middle-aged person. We drop a little bit of wisdom in every episode, and we go out and talk to people about their experiences.
And we laugh.
And we laugh a lot. Comes out every Tuesday. Make sure you download.
Tune in.
All right, the Rusty Satellite Show is here with Katie Gaughan, and Katie's a great friend of mine, my partner, one of my partners in the Breakfast of Champions. Katie, first of all, welcome to the show. I'm glad I finally got you in the studio.
Thank you. Yeah, happy to be here.
It's all great. Now, Katie, if you don't know about the Breakfast Champions, we hold it 5 times a year at the University Club. And we have interesting speakers like Mark Murphy, who is also on this show, and very excited about hearing from him on November 15th, aren't you, Katie? I mean, that's going to be a good one.
Yeah, I think it's going to be great and very timely with all the political things that are going on, and
it's all the post-election blues or joys, I guess, depending on your point of view.
Politics. Should be interesting. And
you're like my girlfriend. You said, "Oh God, please don't talk about politics out in public." I know, but you know, these things need to be said. And but you've been involved with the Breakfast Champions almost as long as I have. It goes back to how long? How do you get involved in our little group?
Yeah, I guess, how long has it been? About 8 years?
It all goes back to Dick Wilson, I know, because he's our esteemed leader.
Yes.
And he has been a guest on the show.
Yeah.
So, 8 years, and you get involved. You're the one that keeps all us guys together. We'll be sexist here because we're going to be talking about that. The guys in the group, there's like 4 or 5 of us, and Katie is the one that's organized and keeps stuff together, right? That's your job.
No, I try. No, but it's a great team.
She doesn't like to take credit, but she deserves it. So anyway, we're looking forward to that. And Katie, you, in your other life, in your real life, I guess, I might be able to use your help too, because you do executive coaching.
I do.
I need some, I think. I think I need some help.
Everybody needs a little help. It's interesting how people think about coaching sometimes, where you think, oh, I know somebody who needs coaching. And it really is all about people just improving and being able to step back. And it's really the people who have it going on that are making an impact and are successful that just... We all have something to tweak. Okay. We all have a blind spot. We all have.
Now you say everybody. Everybody could use this, but specifically, what kind of people do you work with?
I work with executives, and managers, small business owners, anyone who's in a leadership role that just wants to grow in some way, or maybe is moving into more responsibility, or dealing with a change, or
podcast hosts.
podcast host? Definitely.
Definitely.
Yes.
Well, you can, I'm sure you can help me. I don't know. You know, I run a small business. It's interesting. It could always be better, though. And I'm always looking for ways to improve and, you know, make more money, right? What's our first step if we were to engage in a coaching session?
Well, I guess the first step would be just getting to know you. And of course, I know you. So check, right? We've
Ouch.
Gotten through that. No, but I mean,
I can take the criticism, really. I can handle it.
But a lot of it in the beginning is just kind of getting to know what's important to you and where you're going. And there might be just different things that if you were in an organization, we might get feedback from people that you work with, might do assessments on, you know, kind of your personality or communication styles or what have you. So lots of different things we can do just to sort of get a handle on what's most important and where you want to.
Do you like make those people take those tests, you know, those tests where you pick the words and, you know, I don't know, those you're supposed to know your personality type based on this, how you respond to certain questions, right?
Right.
You don't do that.
I do a little bit of that.
Okay. Yeah.
I can tell you're not a fan of that. It sounds like. But
I have opinions, I guess. And you know, that seems to be one of the things. You know, I was joking when we opened this up, and I said, well, you know, Katie, you know, people don't like, you know, certainly like my girlfriend Paula, she don't want me to talk about politics around her friends because, primarily because I'm going to have an outspoken opinion, and it's probably going to be different than others. And in the case of this election, I'm insulting to people who support Donald Trump and his cronies. You know, what do you suggest? You know, is there a way to diplomatically have those conversations, or should I just listen to her and just keep my mouth shut? Which I'm not going to do.
Right. That is not going to happen, huh? So that's not an option.
Yeah.
I think it's a great question, and it is. It's funny just thinking about the work that I do within organizations with teams. You're always going to have people with different opinions and very passionate about things, and so being able to figure out how you can put yourself out there but not alienate people or tick people off, or, you know, just find a way to, I don't know, respect each other and but still
disagree.
Work
with you work with organizations of different sizes, and you know, I guess, you know, social media is it, you know, you like, I'm trying to avoid going through my, you know, Facebook wall and unfriending these crazy Trump supporters. All right, so should I do that? I mean, if I had coworkers there, I would know a lot more about them based on what they post, even if we don't get to know each other at the office, right?
Right.
And I'll make assumptions, like, he's stupid, you know, based on what they're posting on Facebook. I mean, when you give advice to organizations, does social media play a role in what you do?
It does. And I mean, social media is a great example of how we can really put ourselves out there in ways that alienate other people and just really get emotions up and what have you. So a lot of the work that I do isn't necessarily around social media, but it's around those same kinds of things where, you know, we get to such a bad versus good, right versus wrong, us versus them sort of mm-hmm. mentality on things. So a lot of the work that I do with teams is getting over that and being able to get back to knowing the people we're around are good people with good intentions and, you know, that want to do good work. And, you know, sometimes we start to demonize or just not see each other as human anymore, and things start to break down.
Okay, well, you work with leaders who put together their own teams, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it would seem to me just like things like, you know, well, I don't want anybody that smokes on my team, or I don't want this or that, you know, and I certainly don't want another Republican on this group. I mean, is it make sense to even check people out? I mean, do people you work with hire based on, you know, do they check out Facebook profiles when they're considering hiring?
Yeah, I'm sure they do. And I don't actually work with them as much on that end of it as, you know, once they're all together, kind of helping them to be the best. And sometimes you don't know exactly what you're getting when you hire people and how the fit is going to be with the rest of the team and what have you. So that's a little bit more my end once they get there.
So you try to make sure that everybody works together. But, I mean, you ever come in a situation where you say, well, you know, this guy's just never going to work. You need to get rid of him or something like that. Yeah. You know, because it seems like in every office there's somebody that you know, is the target of everybody's ire, I guess, sometimes.
Right.
I was in the last place I worked. But, but you know, it's hard to get along with some people.
Right. It is. And it's so hard. I think things are so pressure filled and people are moving so fast and communication breaks down, and it's easy to get in those places where you're not communicating the way that you need to, or there are certain people who have unpopular opinions or just hard to deal with that you know, things can really devolve pretty quickly. And so a lot of the work that I do is being able to get people back together, and maybe a few of them within the team aren't a good fit, but a lot of times it's just the snowball that has happened because, you know, people come in and they read signals in certain ways. You know, a lot of times we just get one data point from somebody. You know, we're walking down the hallway. What was that look? Oh, I know exactly what that look was. She's mad because blah, 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 blah. And the next meeting, I'm going to be dealing with da, da, da. Right. And, you know, we build, all we got was a look. And, you know, we can build a whole big story around that. And then that impacts how we respond to that person the next time. And, you know, maybe their dog died yesterday. You know, I mean, that look had nothing to do with anything. But, you know, we just start to go down certain roads with people,
and you see them all the time, and it's not necessarily by your choice. I mean, you're thrown in an office environment. You're thrown in with people that you may or may not have anything in common with, and you know, I always found that, you know, exciting in one way and certainly challenging in another way.
Right.
You
know? Yeah, and I think it's being able to find that exciting part of it and figuring out how can we be really good together, and why is it good that we're different, and what are we each bringing to the table, and because there's so much that is not different about us. You know, when you really dig deep, most of what we all really want is pretty similar, and you know, we're not nearly as different as we think we are. And a lot of times the intentions of the people around us are so much more positive than we might assume.
And you're able to bring that out in your counseling they're coaching sessions.
Right.
With various people and companies, right?
Yep.
In summary, that's what you do. Okay.
Absolutely.
Well, as you've heard on the show, Mark Murphy, our other guest on the show, is going to be our next Breakfast of Champions speaker on November 15th. And Katie, we're looking forward to that. It's a great deal, right?
Yeah, be great.
It's $20. Bring cash, and RSVP on Facebook. And Katie and I put the Breakfast of Champions Facebook page together, so that's all good.
Yeah, gotta come join us.
Okay, and come and hang out with Katie and me and a bunch of movers and shakers. We always like to advertise that. We oversell it sometimes, don't we?
I don't know. It's a pretty good group.
I've always said the best movers and shakers in town they always come to the Breakfast Champions. This will be a great one. We will talk about some of those opinions because Mark, as you know, is very liberal and puts his opinions out there as I try to, and you don't. I understand. So anyway, we're looking forward to getting there. And Katie, thanks for coming in and being on the show.
Yeah, it was great. Thank you for having me.
And that will do it for yet another Rusty Satellite Show, the home of the most interesting people in the Ville. How'd we do this week, Steve? Very interesting people?
Absolutely. Always fun to hear these people that aren't in my usual circle of interviews.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun having a whole city full of interesting people to choose from for a guest. So I really enjoy it, and I really appreciate you coming in and being my guest co-host and sticking around after we did our Eat, Drink, Talk podcast.
My pleasure. Glad to do it.
which will remind everybody, Eat, Drink, Talk and a Rusty Satellite Show are both available on the Louisville.am network. New shows every week, and we're just rolling along. We have a lot of interesting things lined up for both these shows in the near future. I want to thank my sponsors, which are Passport Health Plan and the Eye Care Institute. They make this show possible and make it worth doing. And I really appreciate them being here. And a lot of people helped me in all of my media ventures, including Steve on Eat, Drink, Talk. But Jason Smith is my tech guy. I count on Jackie Bentley to put stuff up on LouisvilleKY.com, the pulse of the city. And Steve, it sounds like a lot going on, but I got a lot of help.
Absolutely. You're no island, Rick Redding.
That's right.
It takes a village to put your products out.
This media empire that we have here. But anyway, Steve, if you look him up at stevecoombs.com, he's got some books for sale and some really cool stuff. He's got a lot going on, as do I. So thanks for tuning in to the Rusty Satellite Show, and I'll see you for show number 173 next week.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Podcast with your host, Rick Redding. Next week, Rick will be right back here on Louisville.am with another stellar lineup of great guests. You can let Rick know what you think by sending an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. He's on Twitter, too, @RickyRedding. For more information about the show, including photos of Rusty Satellite Show guests, go to louisvilleky.com, the pulse of the city.